All right, you want to talk about NATO.
I want to talk about NATO, and I want to talk about NATO because there are lots of horrifying reasons that we should vote against President Trump becoming president again. There are a myriad of reasons.
Easy ones.
Threat to reproductive rights, threat to LGBTQ rights, threat to women's rights, threat to minority rights, overall, just general corruption and scamming the government.
Threat to democracy.
His penchant toward dictators and dictatorships and fascism, the cult of personality that surrounds it. There are tons. However, one of, if not the most concrete, tangible, and dangerous reasons that we have to keep him out of the White House is his attitude toward NATO. And if for no other reason, his attitude toward NATO should disqualify him to be president of the United States.
Okay, so, and this is cheating because you just told me, North Atlantic Treaty Organization.
Right, the North Atlantic Treaty Organization.
Essentially, like all these countries are on the same team. Like, hey, we're going to sign up, we're going to be on this team.
Yes, essentially.
I know you love sports analogies.
Right. So, but no, I mean, that's pretty close, I think. I think, post-World War II, we basically get aligned into the communist powers and the democracy powers. That's how kind of the world shakes out after World War II and Germany is defeated. Remember, the Soviet Union was on our side during World War II.
Yeah.
But immediately after, in fact, there was a lot of things about how we invaded Germany so as to kind of, you know, get as much of Germany before Russia could, et cetera, because we already knew, even at the end of World War II, that this was going to be how the world power system played out. It was going to be communism versus the free market, et cetera, et cetera.
The free market?
Right. Yeah.
I mean, okay, that's what it is. That's kind of a funny way to put it.
All right. But so 1949, we come up with this thing called the North Atlantic Treaty Organization. It is a group of countries, primarily European, and then also Canada and the United States.
Are we burying the lead? Are we doing this because of a thing Trump said the other day?
Oh, yeah.
Is that the whole point?
That's the whole point.
Okay, we should say what the thing
is. You want to say that? Okay,
well, so what did Trump say?
Trump said any country that does not pay its membered fees, which is not exactly how that works, but we'll get into that.
Yeah.
That Russia could just go ahead and invade them and we won't do anything. So that's what he says. He's basically giving Russia carte blanche to just attack.
In fact, he kind of encouraged it, right?
Yeah. Yeah. He was like, it would serve those countries right to get attacked for not paying their dues, quote unquote, to NATO.
Yeah.
So NATO has been the bedrock of peace since World War II. Not that the world has been, you know, peaceful or anything like that, but we have avoided a calamitous major world war because of NATO and because of the deal that we have. NATO has in it, in the treaty, the most important for this topic is called Article 5. Article 5 of the NATO treaty basically states an attack on one member is an attack on all members. And so if someone were to invade France, we would be there. We would be right there. It would be like they invaded us. It would be the same thing. And that goes through their calculation, right? An enemy says, all right, I really want to invade France. But if I invade France, I'm also invading England. I'm also invading Spain. I'm also invading the United States.
So is the big thing here that there are countries not paying their dues and the United States is on the hook? Because that's what it seems like when Trump talks
so
like this.
Okay, so one, this has nothing to do with on the hook. There is no on the hook because there are no dues.
Okay.
It's not like we pay into, it's like we all pay into a pot and then that pot gets
spent. It's not the socialism. It's not like universal health care that we all want.
Nope.
It's not universal NATO care.
The way NATO works is every country is required under the treaty to dedicate 2% of their GDP, gross national product, to the military, to their military. And then their military is accessible to NATO if needed. And that's the problem. There are some countries who are paying in less than 2% of their national gross national product.
To their own military.
NATO. To their own military. Right.
Which has nothing to do with paying into NATO.
Right, because there is no paying into NATO.
So some countries don't spend on their own military.
Right.
What do we spend on our military?
They spend on their military, but they don't.
Not 2%.
But it's less than 2%.
Do we have like what the U.S.'s percentage is? Because I feel like I have no idea, honestly. But I feel like we always raise the military defense spending by $50 billion every year.
Well, yeah, we spend an extraordinary amount of money on the military. 2022, it was 3.45%.
Okay.
So in other words, we could stop spending 1.45% of our budget and still meet NATO, our NATO obligation.
Okay, I'll do the Trump argument. Well, we have to add that extra 1.45% because other countries aren't holding towing the line.
Yeah. Well, see, but again, that's the thing. It's not really about this like big pot that people are paying into. It's about making sure that every country, and I'm not arguing against the fact that they should. I think that they should pay their 2%. What is horrifying is basically allowing these countries to be threatened because they're not paying it. It is nowhere near as much as the United States pays for its military.
Has it always been 2%? I love throwing you history questions that because, you know, like there's a world here where we look at that and go, you know what? 2% kind of outdated. It should be 1%.
Right. Possibly. I'm not sure that America would go for that, especially because even if we could, I don't think that our government is willing to.
Well, our government's already over the top with 3.45% because, you know, for whatever reason.
Yeah.
But other countries might be like, well, other countries clearly are just like, we don't invest in our military because.
So Germany is probably one of the big problems in Trump's mind. Like I said, I don't think it's that big of a problem. But Germany spends 1.57% on its military.
Okay.
So that's what we're talking about. 1.57%. And Germany is on track increasing their budgetary spending to hit that 2% mark fairly soon. Mm-hmm. But I mean, in terms of budget, that's a lot of money. You've got to like do it over time, right? So Spain, Belgium, and Luxembourg are the ones that are significantly lower in terms of the money that they're supposed to spend, 2% of GDP. But I want to point out like 2% of Luxembourg's GDP is $1 million.
Do some of these countries just not have a military per se?
No, they all have a military.
Some kind
They
of
all
military.
Have a military. Yeah. But honestly, for them, unlike in the US, for them, the military is almost wholly connected to the NATO project, if that makes sense. The US has, we've got bases all over the world that have nothing to do with NATO. There's all sorts of stuff that happens with the US that has nothing to do with NATO.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of these other countries, that money is basically going to support the NATO project. And again, this is what has kept especially Europe and especially the United States relatively safe since World War II. And the fact that we are willing to jeopardize that is insanity.
Okay, so Trump wants to get us out of NATO.
Yeah, so okay.
What does
so
that here, mean? What does
here's
that mean?
Here's the exact quote, all right? If we don't pay and we're attacked by Russia, will you protect us? No. I would not protect you. In fact, I would encourage them to do whatever the hell they want.
Yeah. But that's a little aside to the end goal for Trump is to get us out of NATO, right?
Right. This is step one of what appeared. Now, of course, he's cagey. He's cagey about this always. But he has absolutely said multiple times that he is not really in favor of NATO, that he doesn't believe the United States should be involved in NATO, and is interested in getting out. Now, you have to put this into perspective of the reason NATO exists is to present a united front against Russia. But Trump loves Russia.
Right.
Trump loves Russia. Trump loves Putin. And so it's almost like Trump is doing Putin's dirty work from the American White House because he is weakening NATO. You've got these countries that are really only not invaded by Russia, because we know Russia wants to invade some of these countries. I mean, look at Ukraine. Ukraine was invaded largely because they were pondering becoming a member of NATO.
I was just going to say, Ukraine is not part of NATO.
Ukraine part of NATO. Yeah. NATO does consider them officially, even now, a potential member. In other words, they've done some like legwork to start the process.
You got
to
apply.
You've got to apply. You've got to get in. Yeah. Everyone has to vote you in. That's actually one of the tricky
things. Oh, wow.
After Russia invaded the Ukraine, two countries who were never part of NATO before, Sweden and Finland, decided, hey, we want to join. We don't trust Putin. We've been neutral for 60, 70 years, but we do not trust this. And two members of NATO, Hungary and Turkey, blocked and are still blocking, actually, their entry into NATO.
Yeah.
Not for Sweden's. Their entry into NATO for really unknown reasons.
I could see it a little bit. Like, hey, you don't need NATO. You don't need NATO for what? Did you say 50, 60 years or whatever it is?
Right.
And then all of a sudden, now NATO's a threat. Oh, now you want to join. Okay, right. Well, you could have been joined. You could have joined the whole time.
The reason that Hungary and Turkey are not letting them in is not because, you should have been on our side from the beginning. It's because over the interim of this 50 years, they have started leaning more toward Russia. They have started being more interested.
Well, I get that. I get that, too. Yeah. Yeah. I understand that, too. But the other two countries that just, you know, everything's peaceful, we're good. Oh, now bleep's going to hit the fan. Now right. we want to join because, look, right. they invaded Ukraine. Now are we next?
Right.
Can we be part of the club?
And Finland and Sweden were both legitimate targets of Russia
yeah.
through this.
But is it right. is it justified that we don't let them join now?
No, not at all.
Right? Like
the more people involved in NATO, the safer it is.
Yeah.
And so we want, and especially Finland, in turn, because if Finland has a monster long border with Russia, it's only about 150 kilometers. The Finnish border is only about 150 yeah. kilometers
okay.
from St. Petersburg. So
on top of everything else, is the United States doing more work? I understand they're paying more percentage.
Our military is not impaired because Luxembourg is not at 2% of their GDP.
Are we carrying the load, essentially?
We've always carried a lot of the load, but that's just because of the fact that we spend so much on military. So yes, there is. We would be carrying this load whether Luxembourg spends it or not.
Aside from those two countries wanting to be in.
But I guess what I another
we kind of willingly do this, like, hey, we're the United States, right. we're going to be the tough guy and we're going to carry the load, you know, we're going to be right. up front. We easily could
right. reduce our foreign our military spending.
Yeah,
like I said, we're at 3.49% or whatever it was I said a moment ago. 3.45.
And I bet that 1.45%, if you added all the other countries that don't get to 2%. I bet our 1.545% doesn't even touch it. Hundreds of billions of dollars.
And so what we've got is it is keeping NATO secure should be America's number one foreign policy objective.
What if the United States left NATO? Like, that's what Trump wants. Now we're not in NATO anymore. All these other countries are together. Mm-hmm. But does NATO collapse?
Is that NATO doesn't collapse, but NATO is significantly weaker.
Yeah.
And it leaves open. Now, I would assume that if America left NATO, that the European countries would form a NATO-like organization very quickly. I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure that's what would happen.
Well, they're already in NATO, right?
Well, I mean, America was kind of one of the founding members of NATO. I'm not sure that you could. I mean, I guess if we leave, I guess it could still be NATO. I'm not sure how that would happen. Right, but they might. There's no guarantee, but they might form together like a group like this. But they would be significantly weaker.
Yeah,
significantly.
I would say
weaker.
That their percentage of 2% would probably have to go up.
Well, maybe. I mean, they've got a lot of things they need to do. They've got a lot of I mean, one of the big reasons that Spain's is low is because Spain is still dealing with a massive economic recession. Right. I mean, which is one of the reasons that a lot of these countries had to go low, because 2006 to 2008 was this global recession.
Yeah.
Governments were slashing budgets all over the place.
We should have a NATO that's not military, and it's NATO that's like humanitarian or
right.
something. You know what I mean?
Well, the UN is kind of like that.
Yeah.
But again, maintaining NATO, which has basically held off Russia, held Russia at bay since World War II, should be our number one foreign policy objective. And the fact that Trump is gleefully saying, oh, we'll ditch NATO, we'll get rid of it, you can invade whoever you want, is absolutely terrifying. Because Russia does. Russia would like to – Russia has made it clear that they want to expand their territory. I mean, I can't say exactly where they want to expand,
well,
et cetera.
They did it. Already.
Right. They're doing it right now.
They're trying right now, but they did it already. I can't think of the city that they
began. Are you talking about Crimea?
Yes.
Okay. Well, Crimea is a region. It's not a city.
Okay.
But they already took Crimea.
And we let that happen.
We let that happen.
And then they went, okay, well, now we're going to, we tested the waters, yep. right? Russia put yep. their toes in the waters, took yep. Crimea.
And of course, taking Crimea is one of the big things that got Ukraine started into getting into NATO in the first place.
Yeah.
And so.
Well, and then Russia went, okay, now we're going to wade into the pool yep. deeper. border. We're going to take Ukraine. Right. And then we went, oh, bleep. Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, we got to stop this.
Right. Because after Ukraine, what is it? Poland? Is it? We don't know.
Right.
So, and I would like to say Poland is absolutely upping its military right now because they're so worried about Russia.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But another thing I want to point out here about this whole, we talked about Article 5. We talked about Article 5 and an attack on one of us is an attack on all. As America talks about getting out of NATO and not being in NATO anymore, Article 5 has only been invoked one time since 1949. It's only been invoked once.
Okay, what happened?
September 11th.
Okay.
America got attacked. And all of these European countries stood up and said, yep, we got your back. We're going. And they went with us to Afghanistan. A lot of other things happened. So when we talk about, well, maybe we don't need this treaty, blah, blah, blah. The only time it's actually been invoked was an attack on us.
Okay.
Why on earth would we get rid of it?
Yeah.
It keeps Americans safe. It keeps Europe safe. It keeps democracy safe.
Well, here's the thing is it keeps the world safe because if the U.S. got out of NATO,
right,
I think we'd be fine. We would because we're way over here. We'd be fine, and we have bases everywhere.
Well, I don't want to say that we'd be fine because taking this to its most horrific conclusion. Let's say that we get out of NATO. Europe stands alone, and Russia decides to attack it.
Well, that's what I'm saying. We didn't care.
But Europe is our biggest trading partner.
Okay,
our economy collapses.
There you go. Okay.
Yeah, no, that's what I was trying to get to.
Yep.
That the world is too interconnected to say, oh, well, it really wouldn't affect us. It would affect us drastically.
Even Russia invading Ukraine and then trade.
All of the grain. Our bread prices went up and are still up because we don't get the grain out of Ukraine anymore.
Right.
Because that's where so much wheat was coming from.
Okay, so, that's why I'm dumb and I need to, like ask the dumb questions because then you answer them and that makes total sense.
Right.
Like, okay, we're over here. We're on our island, right? We're on our, Western Hemisphere island. We'll be fine. Actually, we won't because if we got out of NATO, then Russia does what it wants to do. Because we're kind of the backbone of NATO, I would say.
Right. Oh, we are absolutely the backbone of NATO. There's no denying that. But that doesn't mean that that we should be punishing countries who are dealing with economic turmoil and problems for not hitting their 2% goal. And we definitely should not be inviting Russia to just invade whoever they want. And we won't protect them.
Well,
that
is a little lunacy. Help me walk me through the analogy. If we had universal healthcare and we all paid a certain amount of taxes into the system to get healthcare, well, rich people would probably pay a little bit more in those taxes. That's kind of the goal here is to make the billionaires pay. And then that pot would be bigger because of that. Well, we're kind of the billionaires in NATO.
Oh, yeah. So, we are 100%.
And we're also willingly paying more into our military. We talk about the 2%.
Right.
But we're better off that way. Like, we're better off as a society in that regard. We would be better off as a society having universal health care, but the rich pay their share.
Absolutely. You're 100% correct. We are better off having a safe Europe. We are better off having not being involved in armed conflicts all over the world. We are better – our economy is better off with a safe Europe. There are 448 million people that live in the European Union. America, that's every country in the European Union, which maps pretty closely onto NATO. We've got 330 million. We are the single largest, both population and economy, in NATO. It only makes sense that we are the backbone of the NATO military.
Mm.
It still makes sense. All right. And again, I'm not saying that we should just, let Spain get off the hook or whatever. I'm saying that, hey, let's give them some understanding. Let's help them let's help their economy so they can dedicate more to their military and start hitting their 2%. But let's not invite invasion for not.
I know we're getting to the end here, but is there a role here because of China, NATO, and like we kind of mentioned it, but you said you get to it in a minute. But is China not part of this conversation at this point?
China's not really part of this conversation at this point. It is. I mean, there's a kind of weird, tenuous alliance between China and Russia. However, it's not anything like the Article 5, an attack on one is an attack on both. That there's nothing like that. And China knows that Russia has a terrible economy, and so China knows it has to maintain relations with America for their economy to function.
Yeah, it's like, not like
Russia cannot replace the American economy in China. Yeah. And so they can't have a like adversarial, hugely adversarial relationship with us in favor of Russia.
Well, and I'm not saying that we need to do that, but they're obviously if you're saying NATO is because communists, then China's right. not going to be a part of NATO.
Right. Well, and I also want to remind you that really neither China nor Russia are actually communist.
Yeah, I was going to say like Russia is quote unquote dictator,
yeah.
but not.
I mean, yeah, Russia really. Is pure fascism. China is fairly close to fascism. It might be a little closer to communism.
They elect their
but
president,
really.
But then he just changed the law so he could be president for as long right. as he wants, yeah. right? Xi, right?
Yep. And so, but as we head into November, it is absolutely vital and crucial for us to remember that there are hundreds of reasons not to elect Donald Trump. But one of the highest that really every American should be able to get behind is protecting NATO.
All right.
All right. The La Crosse County Democratic Party meets the third Monday of every month at our office at 2318 State Road, right across the street from Java Vino. Our website is laxdems.com. My email is chair@laxdems.com. I'm William Garcia. Have a great day.